Welcome to Our Shepherd's View, an in-depth discussion with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey. Join us now as Bishop Mulvey shares his thoughts and reflections on this week's gospel, as well as other issues and events happening in the diocese.
Thank you for joining us on this second Sunday of Advent. I am Jesse DeLeon, here with the Most Reverend Bishop Michael Mulvey. How are you this morning, Bishop?
I'm very well. How are you? And greetings to everyone out there who's listening today. Beautiful Sunday of Advent.
Yes, it definitely is. As we prepare to hear this Sunday's gospel, it is from St. Matthew.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Gospel of Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
John the Baptist appeared preaching in the desert of Judea and saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." It was of him that the prophet Isaiah had spoken when he said, "A voice of one crying out in the desert, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight his paths." John wore clothing made of camel's hair and had a leather belt around his waist. His food was locusts and wild honey. At that time, Jerusalem, all Judea, and the whole country around the Jordan were going out to him and were being baptized by him in the Jordan as they acknowledged their sins. When he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce good fruit as evidence of your repentance. And do not presume to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' For I tell you, God can raise up children to Abraham from these stones. Even now the axe lies at the root of the tree. Therefore every tree that does not bear good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. I am baptizing you with water for repentance, but the one who is coming after me is mightier than I. I am not worthy to carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fan is in his hand. He will clear his threshing floor and gather his wheat into his barn, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Well, Bishop, of course, reading over the gospel, I envision John the Baptist, and he is a rather imposing figure, looking rough, and considering the pictures that we sort of form in our minds from hearing the description of the way he's dressed. However, he comes with a very strong message.
Well, yes, it certainly wasn't his appearance that was attracting the people, but his reputation and the reputation of his message, and it was not an easy message to hear, but it was one that went straight to the hearts of people, and that is, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That repent is certainly something that touched their lives. We can see that for us also should be something that resounds in our hearts as well. All of us need to repent, from the smallest lack of charity to even larger sins, grave sins that we may have committed. But we should not just look at the bigger things in life, the bigger grave sins that one may have committed, but also the small things. You know, some of the great saints, in their writings, the closer they got to God, the closer they journeyed in His Word and knowing His Word and coming to a deep love for God, the more they saw their sins. It was exposed to them, their sins, because they were moving closer toward the perfection of God. So I think that's why we see here, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. So it's not just repent to repent for self-justification. This is not self-justification. This is not just to ease someone's conscience of something they've done, but to repent because God is near, because the kingdom of God is here. As we enter this Advent season, that certainly is the message for us. to repent because something new is here, because there's new life awaiting us here and, of course, in eternity in the kingdom of God. So that's the true message, that they have to go hand in hand. One doesn't repent unless there's something both to repent of, but also to repent for. I would say looking back, examining ourselves, we want to repent to move away from, but also to move toward the kingdom of God. It also, in this part of the gospel, it strikes me toward that first, end of the first paragraph, where St. Luke writes that at that time, Jerusalem and all of Judea and the whole region around the Jordan were going out to him and were being baptized by him in the Jordan, and they acknowledged their sins. I caught those three verbs. It's going toward. So anyone who is moving toward what is good will also want to be a part of that. So being baptized into, and when they're baptized into, they acknowledge their sins. So again, I think sometimes we as Christians, and certainly we as Catholics, we become stagnant in our life and where we are. But we have to realize, as the gospel here, the call of John the Baptist, we are going toward God. We're not standing still. We're not stagnant. We cannot be stagnant in our spiritual life, in our life with God. God is not stagnant. God is perfection. And so we have to constantly move toward him. And in doing so, we're not rebaptized, but we're in a new understanding of the beauty of the life that he gives us. And in that, we acknowledge our sins because we have seen the other side. It's not just to put a guilt trip on people that we call to call ourselves and others to conversion, but to the effect of that coming toward Jesus is to acknowledge that we are children of God in being baptized, and that we acknowledge that part of us which is not of God, which we would call sin.
And we've talked about this before when you were mentioning about how we perhaps can maybe become a little stagnant. I think about how we need to continue our spiritual journey. And of course, Advent is a perfect time to do that.
It is, and it's a time of movement toward the great gift of God. And that's why it's, you know, every Sunday, every Eucharist is Thanksgiving, is moving toward the gift of God so that we can be drawn in more and more each time. The next paragraph, I think, in that light was interesting, that these scribes and these Pharisees and the Sadducees came, and immediately John called them, "You brood of vipers." It's strong, but he could see something. You know, if people are just going through the motions with ulterior motives, and but I think in many ways it's probably to see what was going on, first of all, but also to try to be with the people and draw them away from. So there was an ulterior motive here, whatever it was. And that's why John could call them the brood of vipers. You're like snakes. But he brought up, you know, produce the evidence of your good works. If you really are moving toward God, if you really are living your baptism for us, we're acknowledging our sins and we're producing good works. We're doing what is good in life. The other day I was at a place and a lady came up to me and she came up with these big eyes and she was so excited to see us. And turns out she had just been joined the church 3 years ago, but she was so alive in her faith. And then she brought her son over, who was a young adult, and he had just joined the church. But, you know, I listened to her and the message, and she had already reached out to another person who was at a funeral. Of course, they were from a small town. And she reached out to a lady who came into the funeral, who thought she really couldn't, but she invited her in. And she said, if you want to come up at communion time, the priest can give you a blessing. The lady, anyway, long story, she came up and she just felt so warm by the welcome, but also as she approached the Eucharist, she said, the lady told her later that I felt so warm as I approached, Long story, the lady was a former Catholic who had left the church. She came back taking classes, and she's now fully involved in the church. My point is, this is Advent. We receive good news, the birth of Jesus. And if we are baptized, as this lady was so excited about that, she wanted to share the good news with others. She wanted to share the kingdom of God with others. She's very active in her parish. She's very involved, and it wasn't from this diocese. She knew the name of her bishop. She's talking about her bishop. She was going on about her pastor and the people in her parish and what good they're doing. I mean, show me your good works. And I think that brings us to the final part of this gospel, where Jesus will baptize you, not just for the repentance of sin, that's certainly a step, but also will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. That's what I found, that she had that sense of the glow of God in her, and she wanted to give that to others. She wasn't keeping it for herself, but she was, and she wasn't overwhelming, when it says with baptism of the Holy Spirit and fire, she wasn't like overwhelming us, but she was excited about her life and her faith, and she and her husband and the two children and praying for another daughter that's not there yet, but beautiful witness. And I think this is what Advent is really about, to reawaken our faith by awaiting the beginning of our faith, which is the birth of Jesus Christ. So let us all do all we can, whether we're shopping, whether we're cooking, whatever we're doing this Advent, reaching out to the poor, trying to do some good works, corporal and spiritual works of mercy for others. Let's do all that with this spirit of our baptism, that we're God's children, and to do it with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Again, not overwhelming ourselves or others, but just simply being Christ to others, announcing his birth.
Our Shepherd's View will be right back.
Welcome back to Our Shepherd's View. I am Jesse DeLeon, here with the Most Reverend Bishop Michael Mulvey. And we are going to share with you now the word of life for December. It's an interesting phrase that it centers around. It is one that says, he comes to save you.
As we know, this is just a simple way of evangelizing ourselves. It's meant to evangelize ourselves in a very simple methodology of keeping in mind one short sentence and applying it to every encounter, every moment of the day, and just keep repeating it as we would a prayer. He comes to save you. He comes to save you. This is from Isaiah 35. So definitely very appropriate for Advent. And, maybe in moments of discouragement, maybe in moments of doubt, we just remember those words. He comes to save you, and he's right there. Jesus is right there with us. So that's just kind of the reminder of the purpose of these words of life that we read each month. So for this month, again, December, he comes to save you, from Isaiah. The verb is in the present tense. He comes. We can be sure of his coming in this very moment. We do not have to wait till tomorrow or the end of time or the next life. God acts immediately because love shuns both hesitation and delay. The prophet Isaiah is speaking to a people anxiously waiting for their exile to end so they can return to their homeland. For us too, who are waiting for Christmas, we cannot but recall a similar promise given to Mary. The Lord is with you, as the angel announces to her the birth of the Lord. The Lord does not come for a casual visit. His is a decisive intervention, a matter of greatest importance. He comes to save us from what? Are we in grave danger? Yes. At times we are aware of it. At other times, not. He intervenes because he sees our selfishness, our indifference to those who suffer or who are in need, our hatred, our divisions. The heart of humility is ailing. Moved by pity, he comes towards each one of us he has made, whom he does not want to be lost. The Lord offers his outstretched hand as if to the drowning victim of a shipwreck. Sadly, these days, this image is always in front of us, brought to mind day by day when we see those refugees who are trying to cross seas, those immigrants crossing borders and deserts. We witness how they grasp an outstretched hand or a life jacket. We too, in every moment, can grasp God's outreach hand and follow him with trust. He does not only heal our hearts from self-absorption, which closes us off from others, but he makes us, in our turn, able to help those who are in need, who are sorrowful, who are going through trials. Certainly, it is not the historical Jesus or Jesus as the head of the mystical body who sorts out our problems, wrote Kiara Lubick. It is because Jesus, us, Jesus, me, Jesus, you, it is Jesus in human beings, in that specific human being, when grace is present in him or her, who builds a bridge, lays down a road. It is as another Christ, as a member of his mystical body, that each human being brings his or her characteristic contribution in all fields, in the sciences, in the arts, in politics, in communications, and so on. The person thus works together with Christ. It is the incarnation that continues, a complete incarnation that involves all those who are Jesus in Christ's mystical body. This is exactly what happened to Roberto, an ex-convict who found someone who saved him and who then, in turn, became someone who saved others. He told his experience at a gathering of the Focolare movement in the Villa Borghese in Rome last April. Quote, "When my long-term prison sentence came to an end, I thought I would start life again. But, as usually happens, even if you have paid your debt to society, you still seem very suspect to people. I found the doors shut in my search for work. I had to beg on the streets, and for 7 months I found myself homeless. But then I met Alfonso, who, through an organization started by him, helps prisoners' families. He said to me, 'If you want to start again, come with me.' For a year now, I have been helping him prepare food packages for those families in whom I see a reflection of myself. I see the dignity of those women who are alone with little children, living in desperate situations, waiting for someone to give them a bit of comfort, a bit of love. Giving of myself, I have rediscovered my own dignity as a human being, and my life has now meaning. I have more strength because I have God in my heart, and I feel that I am loved." Well, that is a beautiful story, and far away from what we would normally, I think, interpret, "He comes to save you." I think sometimes those types of phrases we read in a literal sense, also because it comes from the prophetic, the prophet Isaiah, "He comes to save you," and so especially in Advent, we would think, well, that's the coming of Jesus, so he's coming, and once we celebrate Advent, and then Christmas, and then Epiphany and baptism, and then Christmas is over. Well, I think this year we need to really have a change of heart and a change of mind, that Christmas means the incarnation of God, that God has come in the flesh. We have become part of that body, as Father Chardy mentions in this commentary, that it's not just a someone coming to save us from another place beyond time, but it's each of us helping each other. So he has come to save us, and once that reality is really embedded in our lives, then we realize that we have also an obligation, we have a desire to reach out to others, to give to others. I think what's so beautiful in the final part of this story that is read by this Roberto, or that's talked about by this Roberto, is that He rediscovered himself when he looked after others' needs, that he was saved by someone else, and now he wanted to offer that saving hand, that helping hand to others, and in that he rediscovered his own dignity as a human being. This is the incarnation. This is Christmas. This is what Christmas means. This is the depth of the meaning of incarnation, that God's love has become incarnate in flesh in us. And it will activate to the point that I understand it when I use it. If I just think about it and it's something of the past, that or that I will be saved at the end of time, we've missed the point. Ours is an incarnational faith. It has to be activated and used. And I think this is a wonderful sentence for us to repeat throughout Advent. He comes to save you. That is accepted by us, as we've talked about during the Year of Mercy, but also it's to be given to others as well, to help them in their needs.
Yes, and I think about it too during the holidays, Bishop. There are so many people who do such wonderful good works during the holiday season, but as you talk about, it's not just at the end of Christmas. They continue to do them every month of the year.
Yeah, you know, and there's some ways I know, talking to some people that help the homeless here in Corpus Christi, they could use a helping hand on Christmas Day. And I'm saying that as an invitation to reach out to some of the agencies that are working on Christmas with their own people. Some of you who are listening, you might put this into action by giving a couple of hours of your Christmas, you know, morning, afternoon, calling one of the agencies here in town and just saying, hey, couldn't you use a help either before or during Christmas, whatever. But I you know, just it's and it's not only for Christmas. We get all excited and we do things for Christmas, Thanksgiving. We do a one-time show, but it's every day. It's every day. And what can I do to help others kind of experience the love of God concretely?
And they may be helping to serve, but it also may be doing the dishes as well, sweeping the floor.
The Blessed Mother sweeped the floor, and didn't she wash the dishes, et cetera, et cetera. And she is the image of all of us that are baptized. So God bless you all for this beautiful Advent season, and let's continue to not just celebrate the event of Advent, but really put it into practice in our own lives.
Thank you, Bishop. If you would now end our program with a prayer and a blessing.
Almighty and merciful God, may no earthly undertaking hinder those who set out in haste to meet your Son, but may our learning of heavenly wisdom gain us admittance to his company, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever.
Amen.
And let us remember the words of Isaiah, O people of Zion, behold, the Lord will come to save the nations. The Lord will make the glory of his voice heard in the joy of your heart. And may Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Our Shepherd's View is a production of 89.5 KLUX and the Diocese of Corpus Christi's Office of Communications and Public Relations. You can hear the podcast of this program at goccn.org. Thank you for listening.